We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettea, along with the voice of the Saints, Mike Hoss, and in studio, Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line with us is Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedel. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. Nick, thanks so much for joining us. And, man, we done been through a wild ride with these Pelicans.
Roller coaster.
Up and down. But I could say that the last couple of weeks we talked.
I mean, I feel like it's been the theme of all of our conversations for the last month with this team.
That's true. That is
just
true.
When you think that things are going to just completely fall apart, they pull you back in.
Yeah, the Godfather line. I told that to Charlie.
Exactly. I remember us talking about it a while ago. But just when you think that they've got things together, at the end of game one, you're going, oh, I mean, they got this. Just make a couple plays. You're watching some of those moments that McCollum had in those last couple minutes, and you're going, what the hell's going on out there? So I feel for any Pelicans fan that has been on the ride, and especially getting to the point that they got, beating the Kings one more time to get in, having so many chances down the stretch to then win game one in OKC. And this team is tough, and we are outlining why you can't just count them out, but when you lose like that in the playoffs in a game that you absolutely not only could have had but probably should have had, that is really tough to rebound from when you're a lower seed.
Nick, I think that's why the line is 7.5 tonight. I really believe that is a big reason why. Nick, let me introduce you to the voice of the New Orleans Saints, Mike Hoss. Mike's got a question for you about the Pelicans.
How you doing, Nick? You come with a great resume. I can tell you, they're singing your praises in this booth, my friend. So that's
send that check to WWL.
Yeah, right.
Attention.
that's a good thing. So I huge Pelican fan, like everyone, and was rough when Zion went down. So I kind of two questions. First off, do you think we will see Zion in this series with OKC? First off, and secondly, how much different of a team do you think the Pelicans are without Zion? I'm not saying better, and in no case, please, I'm going to repeat it so it's not misunderstood. Not better, but different. There's a lot less standing when he's not in the lineup. Just do you think we'll see him, and how much different is this team without him?
Well, let's take the first one, and I'd say, given the track record of seeing Zion on the floor, Mike, I'd be surprised. I would be surprised. I know, like everybody else, I was reading what he was saying the other day when he was talking to the reporters. Okay. But at every time in these last few years, when you have that hope that Zion's going to be on the floor, then he's on the floor and you see him, and it seems like almost in a flash, boom, he just can't make it through. That would lead me to believe that it would at least surprise me in a good way if he reappeared here at some point in the next week. Now, as for the second part to your question, they have to play differently. I mean, that ball has to move. They guys have to take on different roles, and they have to spread themselves out a lot more than when he's on the floor, because you guys see it day to day down there. They pass him the ball, and it's like, all right, Zion, save us. And let me tell you guys, the Pelicans with Zion Williamson on the floor are not that much different than many, many other teams that have come before them through the years. because when you have a player that is that talented and can create that much space for himself and his teammates, a lot of guys look around and go, okay, here you go. We know you can drop 40 like he did against the Lakers before he got hurt. We know you can play at that level. All that is to say, are they a better team? And I mean, you couldn't have stressed this anymore. No, of course not. And we all agree on that. But they have to play in a different style. And usually that style is more palatable as far as ball movement and getting to the rim, just because they're at such a deficit when he's not there. The key for New Orleans, as it has been the last few years, is they've played without him so much that in these moments, I know it's the playoffs and the intensity is certainly higher, they're comfortable playing without him. They'd obviously rather have him out there, but they know how to do it because they've done it so many times before in the past.
Insider Calls with Nick Friedell are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features like available H-Track all-wheel drive and standard third row seating. Nick, I think one of the things when you look at it, this team's 0-24 when they hit the fourth quarter and they're not ahead. And that is something similar to matchups. You can't explain why, but it continues to sort of follow that trend that this team has had so many difficulties closing games out. You brought up against OKC. You had an opportunity there and didn't close that game out. But this team has just not been able to win games in the fourth quarter. You're 0-24? Man, that tells you volumes about that is so difficult for them. But it's almost like matchups like we brought up last week. Why do they match up so well against Sacramento, but yet they are lousy when they play the Lakers?
It's a really, really good point. And I'd say this as far as that stat is concerned. I think it's one of the most telling stats in the league, not only this year, but in the last few. Because New Orleans is a very talented team. We have sung the praises of Willie Green at times. He's gotten these guys to play for him. But when you're consistently losing games and like that, and you can't find a way to get a lead and maintain it or come back from that deficit late, that's not going to change itself when the playoffs start. Those habits are ingrained, and they have been now for months and months. So it's certainly something that the front office is going to have to look at as they continue tweaking and building this team moving forward. But when you can't win and find different ways to win, that's the sign of a team that's just not ready for prime time yet. And we can go all through the reasons why Zion may not have been on the floor. They don't have the right pieces maybe surrounding him. All of that can be true. But the biggest point is you as a group have to find different ways to make it happen, especially late in games coming from different circumstances. And when you hear a stat like that, it tells you that this team, for all the good that has been done, still has so many steps to go on the big stage.
Nick, I got a couple questions about, you know, the Western Conference playoff picture. I know we've talked to you about it when it was shaping up, and you made a great point that it's all going to be about matchups, because when you're looking at OKC and the Pelicans and the 1-8, it's not a very typical 1-8 matchup because there's only 8 games that separate them. I know that they're playing without Zion, but this is not the best 1 seed, and it's not the worst 8 seed, so it makes for a pretty interesting matchup. But I'm going to stick with the Pelicans for now before I look at, you know, the Denver-LA series, which I think has been crazy so far, and obviously the Dallas Mavericks and the Clippers, all this good stuff. Looking at the X factors for this Pelicans-OKC series, I think two players really stand out, one on both sides. And you saw it a little bit in that game one, especially on the Pelicans, Trey Murphy. Whenever he's been just into that starting role with Zion out or with Brandon Ingram out, he's been a more aggressive player. He takes more three-point shots. He makes more three-point shots. And he's such a game changer when those shots are falling. And I know a lot of national media people are starting to sing his praises a little bit more. We've been seeing this from Trey for a while now. Yes, he's been a little inconsistent this year. Last year, at the end of the season, he was fantastic. We saw some flashes of it this year as well. I think that he's the X factor for New Orleans offensively. On the other side with OKC, Jalen Williams, the second-year guard from Santa Clara, I think that he's kind of an under-the-radar piece. Like, everyone talks about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, an MVP candidate. Chet Holmgren's typically the second name that comes up. But for me, the guy that kind of scares me outside of Shai is Jalen Williams, because it just feels like that guy's an automatic 20 points every single night. What are your thoughts on those two players?
Charlie, I think it's really well said. And I know my old friend Zach Lowe was singing Murphy's praises and has been for a little bit of time now. The key with Murphy is his game can completely change when Zion's not out there.
That's true.
It ties back to exactly what we were just saying. Nobody is saying, well, hey, they're better without Zion. You know, he's just not his body isn't – you can't rely on him enough to be out there night after night after night because of all the injuries. Nobody's saying that. But specific to Murphy, it's like the coaching staff looks around and goes, hey, we need somebody to step up and do more. You're our guy. And there is a different mindset that you see. And again, I relate it to my own experience all those years in Chicago watching Derrick Rose, and when he would be hurt, the guys who would have to step up and change what they did night to night to pick up the slack. So I think he is a perfect case study of a player who's certainly coming into his own, but is much different depending on the matchups on the floor and certainly who's in or who's out on his own team. Now, as far as Williams in OKC, that team is so loaded with young talent. And it starts with Shai and what he's able to provide. And we've heard names like Lou Dort and guys like that. But everybody gets lost in the shuffle there, to me, one, because nationally people just don't pay much attention to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Their whole persona as an organization is just boring, frankly. And that's the way they want it. They're not going out in the media and doing a bunch of stories, and they don't have the type of personalities, at least publicly, that are going to draw that much attention. But what Sam Presti does, and it reminds me a lot of a college team, he picks players that will fit his system the way he wants it to work. And I think what we've seen in the series and certainly throughout the season, your point, Charlie, is guys come in and they know exactly what to do. They know exactly what is expected of them, and they play their role at a high level. And I think he's the latest example of that. But it's a common theme with the Thunder, and has been for years. They draft to the needs of their roster. They're coached well. And when you're playing behind Shai, you may not get the spotlight, but in playoff series especially, everybody needs to do a little bit more. And he's been the guy for them so far that has made a big difference.
Nick, Charlie and I talked about this in watching the Timberwolves. Oh, my
man,
God.
Nick, I was just joking with Mike about it. I was just like, could they not have done this on the final day of the regular season? But it could have been a double-edged sword. Like, well, I guess you wouldn't have been playing the Timberwolves in the first round.
But my thing is, they have, like, cold-cocked the Phoenix Suns. I mean, they are reeling at this stage. And I told Charlie, you know, you can almost feel that – that showdown at the end, Nuggets, Timberwolves.
Would be the conference semifinals.
It'd
and I
be
think
the
that's
semifinals.
Where we're looking at.
But to see how they have dominated, and they haven't just won, they have dominated the Suns, a veteran team, and they can light it up too. But man, they are so overmatched here, the Suns, and it's not even close.
No, not at all. I mean, I thought when that series started, guys, I was like, Kevin Durant will find a way. He will find a way through Minnesota. He will find a way to carry this beleaguered team at least through the first round. And, I mean, you couldn't have said any better. They're not close.
Yeah, not. I mean, Nick, it's like
watching the varsity in the JV so far.
It's like watching a heavyweight going up against a middleweight.
Completely. And for all the flaws and all the reasons why people were skeptical about the roster construction for Phoenix specifically, and, hey, they've got a big three, but what do they have behind them? Mm-hmm. All those reasons have been validated here in the last few days. all of the things that people thought, can they make it not only through a regular season, but in the playoffs, that has all come through. And what we've seen is a Phoenix team that just doesn't look like they're built to do anything, and a Minnesota team that, frankly, I think around the league, guys, as great as they were at various points in the last few months in the regular season, I don't think anybody expected them to come out and do this early. So while I think it's still Denver, and Denver is clearly ahead of everybody else, the fact that Minnesota has just dominated the Suns the way that they have, and Anthony Edwards, especially in game one, played the way he did, I think it has opened a lot more eyes and has given them a credibility that they haven't had before.
I agree with you, Nick. I think that's the key word. It has given them some major cred on how good of a team they really are.
And I think it also highlights a little bit, we were talking about the matchups once again, Nick, that Phoenix has not been, they've been, I think, by far and away the worst fourth quarter team in the NBA, and it's showing up. Like, they've gotten absolutely blasted in the second half of both of the first two games against Minnesota. Like, that's when they pulled away. That first half against the Timberwolves, super competitive, but then all of a sudden they just flip a switch and Phoenix can't respond. And, you know, you remember all the comments from Devin Booker about, oh, I don't know how other teams are going to guard us. And then, like, that big three just didn't show up.
Keep his mouth shut.
Yeah, no, so, I mean, whatever. That's besides the point. But I wanted to ask you before we let you run, Nick, that series against the Lakers and the Nuggets, it's so fun for me to watch as someone that really does not like the Lakers, because the Nuggets just have their
number. Come on, Charlie.
No, I mean, the Nuggets just do have
that's
their number.
That's a shocker.
10-0 against the Lakers in the last 10 games. And in that stretch, Nikola Jokic, who's just been phenomenal against them, 27.2 points per game, 13.7 rebounds per game, 10.7 assists, 1.1 steals, 1.1 blocks. So he's doing everything, by the way. 55% from the field, 44% from three. They just cannot contain him. Nobody really can contain Nikola Jokic. That's why he's going to win his third MVP in 4 years. But just the way that the Nuggets won that game, where the Lakers had so much going for him, D'Angelo Russell hits all those early threes and gets off to a great start. Yeah, I think Anthony Davis was 13 of 14 at one point. He had like 24 points in the first half. He was killing the Nuggets offensively and then also really solid defensively. And they still blow a 20-point lead, Nick, to go down 2-0 in that series. That just kind of felt like the death knell of that matchup for me.
Charlie, even hearing you give the recap there and rattle off Anthony Davis' numbers, the only thing that's popping through my head is, that's all, folks.
Yes, exactly.
That's it.
That's what Jamal Murray must have said when he hit that game-winning shot over him at the very end, a buzzer beater, right?
Exactly. I mean, I know everybody in New Orleans remembers that T-shirt and the way the exit happened. It was all just really strange.
It was ugly.
And it was ugly. But to see a Lakers team that played so unbelievably well throughout much of that game the other night, and then to just fade and fall apart, I think the scariest part, not just for the Lakers, who I don't expect to see much longer in the playoffs because Denver's just so much better. The scariest part for the rest of the league guys playing it forward is Denver is just this team now with all of this confidence on top of Jokic and Murray, and they're great. And Jokic is going to win yet another MVP. The difference now is this team knows it can win. They won last year. They can get down by a ton early and still think, no panic, we'll find a way. And guess what happened the other night in game two? That is exactly what transpired. They just whittled it all down. They made it work in the end, and they are walking and playing now like a title-winning team that knows that nobody can beat them when they're at their best. And that is a very dangerous thought, especially with a team that is still so young that is anchored by a guy in Jokic who just seems to get better and better every year.
Nick, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it, bud. And next week, let's see if we up on the top of the roller coaster or are we back down in the valley of the roller coaster.
Well, hey, I'm looking forward to it on a couple levels, especially because I'm trying to get down to Jazz Fest next week. So I hope I can see you guys for a second somewhere.
All right, brother. That'd be great. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, you got it, guys. Have a good one.
All thanks, right. Nick.
That was Odyssey NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.